certainly nice to be with you this morning in the ministry of the Word of God, having been away for a number of Lord's days. We're looking forward to David's return, and I hope he has a good time at the Morris reunion. We still have some Morrises here, so they must be in a different, to use a Pennsylvania Dutch word, must be a different friend shop. There we go. That means family connection. I invite you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, and we begin our reading at verse 14. And in the will of the Lord, we're going to read from this same portion again at 6 o'clock tonight. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning that we can expect thy people to learn something of the love of Christ. May we learn what its length is, what its breadth is, what its height is, what its depth is. May we know that love of Christ that passeth knowledge. And may we rejoice in it and experience it day by day. Deliver us, our Father, from anything that would hinder us from rejoicing and experiencing thy love. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The distinguishing mark of the people of God is to know the love of Christ. And without exception, everyone who has ever passed from death into life, they have learned this. No matter how well educated or how learned a person may be, if he's not saved, that person knows nothing about this. He doesn't know anything about the love of Christ. Now this expression, the love of Christ, appears 3 times in the New Testament. In Romans chapter 8, it's a word for the sufferer. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, it is a word for the servant. The love of Christ constraineth us, for we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they who live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died and rose again. And then here in Ephesians chapter 3, it's a word for the student. The love of Christ, it passeth knowledge. You know, love is the most difficult word in the English language to define. What is the meaning of love? And yet for the child of God, we experience the love of Christ every day. Now you and I can't speak of love like the world does. The world talks about falling in love and falling out of love. These are not the words that that a child of God can use. We can't use them. Why not? Well, number one, we're told to love our neighbors as ourselves. Furthermore, we're commanded to love our enemies. And more than that, husbands are commanded by the God in Ephesians 5 to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And Paul instructed the older women in Titus chapter 1 to instruct the younger women to love their husbands. So we find that we can't use the word love as the world uses it today. We can't say, I don't love her anymore. And she can't say, I don't love him anymore. You see, but to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, that's something else. That takes us way up to a higher plane. I love a hymn that we don't sing. It's in our worship hymn book. I think it's number 137 in the black hymn book that we use at the Lord's Supper. It says, what grace, O Lord, and beauty shown around thy path below. And the third and fourth stanzas especially attract my attention. For they say, thy foes might hate, despise, revile. Thy friends unfaithful prove, unwearied in forgiveness still. His heart could only love. And then that fourth stanza, oh, give us hearts to love like thine. Like thee, O Lord, to grieve, far more for others' sins than all the wrongs that we receive. Oh, what a hymn. How that expresses and exalts the love of our blessed Lord. This, beloved, is the love of Christ that the child of God knows. It's the love that says nothing can separate us from his love. It's the love that makes us and constrains us to tell of that love. And it's that love that passes knowledge. Now, an unsaved person can perceive something of the love of God. They can perceive something of it, and the nominal Christian who attends church, but who has never been born of God, can perceive something of the theory of love. But oh, to know the love of God shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Only a genuine child of God knows this. This is an enclosure that's secure, and only God's people can enter into it. A person who has never been born of God cannot enter into this glorious enclosure that is ours. Now, every child of God knows this. But not all the children of God know it to the same extent. So you can see I can use the love of Christ as a gauge in my life to see whether I'm really growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. Do I love the Lord more this week than I did last week? Am I growing in the love of Christ? You see, what he's saying in our text here in Ephesians 3 is that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height? Am I growing in my apprehension of the love of Christ? In Genesis chapter 28, that fellow Jacob, he had to flee from home because he had stolen the blessing that his father wanted to give to his brother Esau. And through deception, he got that blessing. It was a blessing of Abraham. And he stopped at a place called Luz, L-U-Z. And while he was there, he laid down to sleep, and he had a rock for a pillow. Boy, it's hard to run away from yourself. You can't do it. And God is going to follow Jacob. But there in Genesis 28, he renames that place Luz, and he calls it Bethel. Why? For three reasons. It became the place of the vision. He saw a vision. And a ladder was set up from earth to heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the ladder. But then it became the place of the voice. Above the ladder stood the Lord, and the Lord spoke with him. And then it became the place of the vow. It was there that he made a vow unto God, God having spoken to him in such tender words. And he says, this place is Bethel. It is none other than the house of God. Now when you think about this in relation to love, all I want to do this morning is climb Jacob's ladder with you. You know, we used to sing that. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. As young people, we used to sing it as a round, you know. We are climbing Jacob's ladder, soldiers of the cross. And we want to go up seven rungs on the ladder of love this morning. I believe that these are seven steps that God would have us take. Number one, rung number one, we begin with a doctrine of love. If a person would know the love of Christ, we have to study the Word of God with care. We have to study it with attention. We must study it constantly, and we must depend upon the Spirit's illumination. Doctrinal ignorance makes weak believers, and it makes weak churches. We need to know the Word of God. Now, good doctrinal teaching will enable the child of God to lay hold of the form of sound words. You ever just speak to people who claim to be believers for a number of years and they don't use the language of Scripture? To me, the language of Scripture is being inscripturated with the Word of God, knowing what these words really mean. Now, we're living in a day of doctrinal ignorance, of doctrinal ignorance. People say, oh, I don't want doctrine, that's cold. Give me Jesus. I'm into Jesus. Oh, doesn't that sound good? No, it doesn't. Who is Jesus? And the moment you try to answer that question, you're into doctrine. Because apart from doctrine, you'll never be able to answer it. He is Jesus, the Son of God. In other words, he's a man, Jesus, the one who became incarnate in human flesh, the one who is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. He's the man, and there's a man in the glory this morning. But he's also the Son of God. In other words, he knows everything that the holy throne of God demands, and he knows all about the weaknesses of humanity. And he's able to meet all our needs. And he's done it at the cross on Calvary's Hill. Beloved, you cannot understand who Christ is apart from doctrine. You see, the Bible is not a ball of wax, friends, to be formed any way we want to push it. That's not the Word of God. God has given us his Word. His Word reveals his love. And God intends to teach us with it. And there's no other way to know God than through the Word of God. You see, doctrine are the shovel and the tongues of the altar, but Christ is the sacrifice on it. Doctrine, friends, are the garments of Christ, but love speaks of the person who wears them. And it's that one who went to the cross and took my place in death, who bore the judgment for me. And when I want to know something of him, I read the Word of God, and the Word of God takes me to that glorious person who wears the garments of the love of God revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me ask you a question. When did God begin to love you? When did he begin to love you? Oh, I love Jeremiah 31, verse 3. The Lord hath appeared unto me of old, saying, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And I love the next word. Therefore, in loving kindness have I drawn you. Why did God ever bring me to himself? He loved me with an everlasting love. When did he begin to love you? He always did. Can you imagine that? When I was a child of wrath, even as everybody else, he loved me. Isaac Watts put it so well. Why was I made to hear thy voice and enter Rowther's room when thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come? 'Twas the same love that spread the feast that sweetly forced us in, else we had still refused to taste and perished in our sin. Now let me ask you another question. When will God stop loving you? He never will. It's an everlasting love. Rung number one. The doctrine of love. Rung number two. Rung number two. We're going higher as a grateful appreciation for experiencing his love. Do you remember the place where God met you in saving power? Do you remember where you were when God saved you? That place is a sacred place. Ah, I remember where I was when I was saved. You know, other places have lost a lot of significance to me. But that place, I look at that house every time we take a visit to Pennsylvania and we go to Lebanon. You see, when I was saved, you could look all the way to the railroad tracks. You can't anymore. Because there's a bridge built. But I remember the Sunday morning We were having a Bible reading in our home. My back was to the window, and God revealed himself to me in saving power. I became his, and I knew it. I knew that God had revealed himself to me. I've never forgotten that place. Oh, we remember that. I can't tell you if I was 10 years old or 11 or 12. I just know I wasn't 12. I know I wasn't 12. You see, now we can enjoy the love of Christ. Do we enjoy the love of Christ as much now as when he first saved us? You love him as much now as when you were first saved? You see, some people say, oh, that first love is wildfire. I like what Spurgeon said. He said, I'd rather have wildfire than no fire. My friend, do you love him as much now as when he first saved you? Oh, let's move a step further. Let's go another rung. To know the rung of the love of Christ, not the wrong of Christ, but the love of Christ, to know it practically. If you'd like to learn to swim, and you had the best swimming instructor, you couldn't learn to swim in this building this morning. You see, if you're going to learn to swim, you have to get in the water. And if we want to know the love of Christ in a practical way, we have to learn it in a practical way. And our Lord says to us in John 14 and verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. You want to learn the love of Christ practically? Keep his commandments. Now you can't learn to be a farmer by reading books about farming. To learn to be a farmer, you got to work with a farmer and get out there and work. And you know, you can't learn the love of Christ apart from keeping his commandments. Now you may learn by coming here. See, if you put the truth that you hear, and Brother David isn't here this morning, and I can say this. I love that brother. I thank God for the gift that God has given David, and I praise God for the way in which he uses it. Oh, it's a thrill. I tell people to sit and listen to that brother is like eating honey. And I mean it when I say it. Beloved, you can learn something of the love of Christ by coming here if you put it into practice. When you leave, our Lord says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, we're going up the ladder. Rung number 4. To know his love by meditating upon it. We must meditate upon the work of Christ. You see, the blessed man of Psalm 1 meditates day and night in the law of God. To meditate on those words, it is finished. Ah, there in John chapter 19. To meditate on those words, it's finished. To ask yourself the question, what's finished? What really is finished? And I'll tell you what's finished. All the work that was necessary to take a wretched sinner like me into heaven, and God not having a red face because I'm there. He knew all about me when he saved me. And the work of Christ was so final and so complete that God has dealt with all my sin. As we sing sometimes at the Lord's Supper, all my sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him. And believing, we are free. And I like another hymn that we sing. Done is the work that saves. Once and forever done. Finished the righteousness that clothes the unrighteous one. The love that blesses us below is flowing freely to us now. And I love that second stanza. The gate is open wide. The new and living way. 'Tis clear, 'tis free, 'tis bright. With love and peace and day. Why stand we then without in fear? The blood of Christ invites us near. It's finished, beloved. The work of saved is done. Oh, to meditate on the words, you see, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a thought for meditation. You know what meditation is? How do you define it? You see, I like to think of meditation as a ladder from the heart to the head. Or should I say, from the head to the heart. It's a lot, and the more we meditate with our mind, our hearts are warmed, like the two in the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, when they, to whom our Lord and as a risen Savior appeared on resurrection night, they said, did not our heart burn within us as he talked with us by the way, and as he opened unto us the scriptures? Ah, we know his love by meditation on it. But more than that, to enjoy the love of Christ. How do we know to enjoy it? To enjoy it. Oh, there are times when faith gives way to a conscious enjoyment of the love of Christ. We can hardly contain ourselves. Oh, there are times, beloved, when it's like eating a juicy orange. And you're just squeezing all the juice that that orange contains. And then you find that there's a lot more left. Oh, the conscious enjoyment of the love of Christ. You know, I've been at the Lord's Supper with the Lord's people many times. And I've been there at times that I wished it would never end. There is such an enjoyment of the person of Christ and the love of Christ and the expressions of praise that are coming from the saints of God. It was priestly worship as we were in the presence of the Lord. Oh, friends, what a privilege. But then we have to climb another rung. We're getting a lot higher from the doctrine of love. Rung number 6, to know the love of Christ sympathetically. To know it sympathetically, take a look at the city of Jerusalem, where our Lord was rejected, where he had done many of his wonderful works. As he beheld the city of Jerusalem, he wept over it. He saw the temple that once was filled with the glory of God when it was dedicated to God by Solomon. It was filled that Solomon couldn't enter in. He knew all about it. And he said, there's not going to be one stone left upon another. He said, the blood's going to flow in the streets. Why? They had rejected him. They have rejected love. Do I enter into the love of Christ sympathetically? Do I realize that those who know not God are lost? And they need the gospel. And the only way they're ever going to be saved is somebody has to tell them. This is to know the love of Christ sympathetically, beloved. You and I can rejoice in it week after week as we come to the Lord's Supper and as we meditate upon the person and work of Christ. But if I'm going to grow, if I'm going to know the love of Christ, I have to enter into it sympathetically. Oh, give us hearts to grieve like thine. I was reading Mark's Gospel this week. Our Lord looked at his disciples and he said, I have compassion on the multitude. They've been with me 3 days and they haven't eaten. He said, and if I send them away, they're going to faint, by the way. I have compassion on them. So we have compassion on our neighbors. Beloved, we must take those words of the four lepers of 2 Kings chapter 7. Chapter 6 and chapter 7, very sympathetically with ours. Remember what those lepers said? You know the story of the four lepers? You see, the city of Samaria had been surrounded by the Syrian army for days, and they had been reduced to cannibalism. There was nothing to eat. And you can read about it in 2 Kings 6. You see, Elisha said, tomorrow you're going to have plenty of food. A pre-famine crisis. That's what he said. And then there's a man of unbelief who said, why, God made windows in heaven. He couldn't do that. Well, God didn't make windows in heaven, but he did something else. There were four lepers sitting in the gate. You know, the gate is a place of going in and going out. And they were deciding, which way are we going to go? And you might be at that place this morning trying to decide, which way am I going to go? They said, if we go into the city, we're going to die. If we go into the camp of Syria, they could kill us, but there's a possibility they won't. Let's go that way. Let's go that way. And they went into the camp, and the camp of the Assyrians was empty. And they left everything behind. You talk about food, clothing, silver, gold, apparel. Can you imagine four lepers who hadn't eaten for weeks finding all that food? I kid certain people about liking food, you know. And I'm one of them. And we kid back with each other. Can you imagine those lepers? They looked at each other and they said, we do not well. Today's a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. Beloved, if we as a people of God, who have the only message that will ever deliver a soul from the eternal destruction of the wicked, if we hold our peace, we do not well. We must enter into the love of Christ sympathetically. We must enter into it sympathetically. Rung number 7. To be absorbed in his love. And to be absorbed by his love. May I quote Wesley for just a moment? Wesley wrote, O love divine, how sweet thou art. When shall I find my willing heart all taken up with thee? I thirst. I faint. I die to prove the fullness of redeeming love, the love of Christ to me. Beloved, this love is available this morning. It's yours for the taking. And God says, come just as you are. It's available. Are you a dirty sinner? Come and be washed. Are you a naked sinner? Come and be clothed. Are you a lost sinner? The scripture says the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And we can say to you, come, there's a welcome for you in his love. And the moment a sinner believes and he trusts in a crucified Lord, that moment he's saved. And you want to know something? I enjoyed the other Sunday morning what Brother David said. A lot of people have an idea they have to come to the front, you know. And Brother David, like myself, doesn't know which is front and which is back. You see, I don't know. Because you came in that door there, you came in the front. And the moment you come in the door, it's the back. You see, I'm so glad that the Lord says, come to me. I'll give you rest. He says, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God, and there is none else. And the moment a sinner believes, and he trusts in a crucified Lord, that moment he's saved. That moment the work is finished, and a robe of righteousness has been provided for him, and he can add one stitch to it to make it complete. It's all complete, for the work is finished. And Paul prays that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge. Have you ever come to him? Do you know him whom to know is life eternal? We're talking about a sacred enclosure this morning. It's being enclosed with Christ. Is that your portion? You see, beloved, this is the glory of the gospel. This is the glory of the love of Christ. Oh, may God give it to each one of us. For his name's sake. Let's pray. Our Father, in the precious name of thy dear Son, we give you thanks. We praise you that the work that saves is finished. We praise you that this love is available for everyone who will ever come and taste and see that the Lord is good. And we pray for each one. And now we commend this company to thee and to the word of your grace. And we would say to thy people, O child of God, by the blood of his cross, wherever your feet shall lead you today, wherever in God's providence you must tarry, ask the blessed Lord for his guidance, his help. He will never leave thee. He will never forsake thee. And he invites you to cast every heartache, every loneliness, every pain, every care upon him, for he cares for you. And may the blessing of Jesus, the Christ of God, go with us each one until we meet again together beneath the mercy seat. In the love of Christ, amen.